Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin live today at Duncan here in Old Hickory, Tennessee. JoJo.
Yes.
The Hadley Village area. Grand opening of their Duncan here today.
It's excited to be here. Oh, that's great, man. It's time you came out to God's country. It's the area where Nate Bargatze and myself and Mike Organ roam. So if you want to see some celebrities, just drive by and you'll see the one of the three of us. Although the big celebrity doesn't live here, but he claims 37138.
Yeah. Well, Nate's doing a lot of big things, hosting Saturday Night Live. He was really funny, by the way.
That was one of the best episodes of SNL I'd seen in years. You know why? Zero political garbage.
Oh, I know. It was good. I think my favorite skit was they were founding America.
Fantastic. That was fantastic comedic timing, humor, pausing, everything. That was a perfect skit. It was well done.
Got a big show today. John McClain going to join us at 9:30 for his usual weekly visit. So we'll look forward to chatting with him about the NFL, some news out of the NFL.
Woo!
I was signing off of the Predators postgame show last night after they fell 5-2 in Vancouver and get the notification on my phone. And I said to Connor and the guys at the studio, I was like, whoa, the Raiders cleaning house, firing both Josh McDaniels and their general manager, David Ziegler. So Mark Davis not messing around.
I'm shocked. He shouldn't have got the job in the first place.
No, but he's terrible.
He just an awful job. The way they performed, you know, Monday night against Detroit, and Devontae Adams only had one catch during the game. Just,
yeah.
A lot of things going on. He's just the guy was not well-liked. I mean, remember when he took the Colts job and said, you know, I have second thoughts. I'm going to get out. He should never, ever, ever, ever be able to be a head coach again. You can coach again, that's fine, but if you hire him as a head coach, it's on you.
We know where he's going. He'll go back to New England and,
yep,
you know,
hang out,
Belichick's coffee and, you know, do whatever.
Well, you know, if it's Duncan and you're paying me a lot of money, I'll do that job. I don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
I'll take a lot of that money to do that. But, yeah, that's just another thing in the NFL. It's just so odd. I did not see him as the first coach getting fired.
Who did you see as the first coach?
The Chargers coach.
Oh, yeah.
And then if the Vikings started getting bad, he was next. And then it would have been Josh McDaniels.
You know what's funny? Gone are the days where we would go, oh, they just hired him. And it's only his second year. He'll get more time. I mean,
right.
There's coaches, you know, you look at what's his name in Denver last year.
Hackett?
Hackett, yeah. I mean, he was a hack.
Oh, he didn't even last Chaser a year. Boom got one in there.
Didn't even last a year. So, I mean, you see that happen now. It used to be, oh, give him 5 years, you know, get in there and
I think five has become three in college and has become two in the NFL. I mean, you know what you got, what's going to happen if you're going to be that. This is going to be long term. You got a feeling about that stuff. So, you know, a funny offshoot of that is that timing and patience, right? The first year Seinfeld was on the air, it was the lowest rated show. And NBC's like, we're getting rid of it. It's awful. And somebody said, you know what? Give them just maybe one more year. We got time to fill. And it took off. You just never know. But the feeling you get from football is that, you know, you kind of know when it's really time, if you're going to have that be there long term or not. And it certainly wasn't.
Yep. And so Josh McDaniels shown the door, as is the GM, David Ziegler. Antonio Pierce, the Super Bowl-winning linebacker with the Giants, who was on the coaching staff at Arizona State with Herm Edwards, has been with the Raiders. He is now the interim head coach.
I love it. Hey, why not? Give him a shot. Let him see what he can do. And then they play the Giants on Sunday. So what are the odds of that?
How cool is that? His first game as a head coach is against the Giants. And we've seen this kind of trend, I guess, of former players becoming coaches. And, you know, Antonio Pierce played at a very high level.
He did.
For a long time, a good linebacker. So best of luck to him. And then Champ Kelly named the interim general manager, who was a scout with the Bears and the Broncos.
Bears!
And actually, I got a text from Brett Kern this morning, former Titans punter. Very happy for Champ Kelly. That was the guy that scouted him and brought him to Denver.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
So does that mean Brett Kern's leaving us?
No, I don't. Okay. I think he's got too many tea times.
Can he take us with him if he goes, please?
Yeah, Brett, we'll help out. So, and the Titans will leave today and head to Pittsburgh as they take on the Steelers tomorrow for Thursday night football. Will Levis will get his second career start.
Might as well. You know, if you get thrown to the fire, get thrown to the fire on the road, short week in Pittsburgh, and see what he can do. I just think I'm so glad they put him in. He had a great performance on Sunday, and this is bounce off of that. What I do not like is all these people, not always, but a bunch of people were like, well, you know, long term, just celebrate and enjoy the one game.
Yeah.
You know, let's just enjoy how great he was on Sunday and answered so many questions, and let's see what he does on Thursday night.
Does this feel – I was trying to think about this the other day. Like, okay, we've seen one game, and so it may take, you know, a handful of games to really decide what this feels like. But I don't know why the first thing I thought of was when Roethlisberger took over for the Steelers that – it was kind of like you kind of knew. Now, they had drafted him in the first round.
Right.
He was going to be the quarterback of the future, just like Will Levis had moved up in the second round. He basically was the end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew he was going to be the quarterback of the future. So maybe that's why I'm making those similarities, not the quarterbacks, but just the situation. It kind of feels similar.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and hopefully that if Levis has half the success that Roethlisberger had, that means you're going to two Super Bowls because Roethlisberger went to three, and we add up, Jeannie, and then you'll win one at least one Super Bowl. I mean, so sure. Yeah, I mean the fan base is now fired up. They feel good about this, and you got a quarterback, and you know, and I'm sure the team with Simmons with that great thing the other day about rallying around the team around him and knowing that something's there. And I don't know, it's good. It's far better now this week than it was last week.
Yeah, it is, and my hope is that, you know, Friday morning when we come on the air, we're talking about a win.
Yes.
And I, like, hey, Levis goes out there again. Like, I'm not expecting four touchdowns every time. But if he throws two and they win 17-14, you take that all day long.
What if he does throw four? That'd be amazing.
Well, then that's
eight touchdowns for two games. Yeah.
I mean, that's a different conversation.
It is.
If that's the case.
Right. So it'll be, I don't know. I think it's fun. I think it's fun that they just immediately go right back to action on a Thursday night and play this game.
Yeah. I think, like, I know working with Derek as many years as I have, you know, I think I hate the Thursday night games because I know the players hate the Thursday night games. I mean, it's nice for us. It's something to watch. And, like, tomorrow, do we have is tomorrow Sports Equinox? Yeah, I guess we would have hockey, World Series.
Yep. Soccer.
NBA.
The 30th time ever, right?
Is that right?
It was 29 on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Because I was listening to the Miami airport Monday and talked about how that's the equinox and then the 29th time ever. Hey, here's a question.
Actually, no, there won't be baseball tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be because
it's tonight.
Oh, okay.
So it's Friday and Saturday if it gets that far. I mean, I think Texas could end it tonight.
I know we have our question of the day, and, you know, I like football. Is anybody watching the World Series?
That's a great question. I had it on last night. And so I wouldn't say I was watching.
Right.
Because I looked up and it was 10-0 Texas. And I was
right,
like,
it was. What the world's going on here?
And like, I thought, you know, Garcia's out for the rest of the World Series. I'm like, uh-oh, that's going to hurt him. And then they put a 10 spot up.
Yeah, here's how dumb I am. When I saw Bush, because I was working this past weekend, Friday evening when I saw George Bush walk out in the baseball field, I'm like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
He's throwing the opening pitch at the World Series. I'm like, what? And, you know, it's crazy, Chase. I used to watch every single game of the World Series, even after I stopped liking baseball. But I don't know anybody. Nobody's talking about this.
Did you see the interview he did with Derek Jeter?
Yes, before.
That was very, very cool.
Yes.
Talking about 2001, because ironically, that was against the Diamondbacks.
That's right.
In 01 when he did that. But he threw, you know, throughout the first pitch then, and Jeter was kind of going, you know, yeah, I told you then. I said, hey, Prez, you're going to throw from the top of the mound, right? And, you know, George was talking about that, and he goes, so you're going to do it again this time? He goes, no.
Then I went back and watched it. When President Bush throws the baseball, they take, like, the helicopter shot or something. So you go see where the ball went. It was like, just keep it on what you usually do. Don't try to be cute with that. But I'm legit curious if you're watching the World Series. I'm
barely watching. I mean, I'm still jaded because my team had the best record in baseball and the best team in baseball, and they end up, you know, getting knocked out in the divisional round. So that's kind of where I'm at. 615-737-1025. What is our question of the day, JoJo?
That we want to do with that one? Are you watching baseball? Are you watching the World Series? Do you care about the World Series?
Sure.
You don't like that, do you?
No. You know I don't.
Oh, man.
You think about it.
Okay. I'll get you when we come back.
We should have gone over this in our show meeting, but that's okay.
Our pre-show meeting was a good hour and a half today, so
it
that's
was.
A problem.
It was. We're at the Dunkin' in Old Hickory, Hadley Village, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. Come by and see us. Say hello. Get you a coffee. Get you a donut. Here at the new Dunkin', it's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nick Frazier anticipating our question of the day.
Oh,
well done.
He's the best. So we like to have fun on this show, as you all will know, and y'all's responses are incredible. So November 1st, can we start playing Christmas music? Is it too early? Is it okay? Is today the unofficial day to start playing Christmas music? I'm curious because I've heard both sides of this coin.
I know people that not only are they playing Christmas music, but probably woke up this morning before work, took all their Halloween stuff down, and already started putting Christmas stuff up.
Yes!
And I'm like, Thanksgiving? Like, do we got to get to think? Now, here's how I'll answer it.
All right.
Yes, you can start playing Christmas music. I will – so I have, like, all my music on my phone. And every now and then a Christmas song will pop up, and I'll just skip it. I might not skip it now. Especially if it's Last Christmas by Wham.
Yes.
That's probably gonna thump a little bit.
That's a sign of you getting older, Chaser. And I'm here for it. I'm here for your emotional side.
Because you know what? Here's my thing. We have this conversation – every year about, is it too early to put up a Christmas tree? Is it too early to play Christmas music or holiday music or whatever? You know what? It's a free country. Do whatever the hell you want. Like, if it makes you happy,
yeah,
then do it.
Just do it.
And if it doesn't make you happy and you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But don't chastise somebody for doing it.
Look at you. It's like you're running for office. It's like you're running for office.
What office?
All that, right.
Alderman in Rayon City?
Taken. Because I run the city. You'll do what you're told here.
Where is Rayon City?
So if you go down, if you turn out of here, you go down and take a right, it's by the DuPont plant.
Okay.
So it's back in there. It's heaven on earth. Okay. I mean, it truly is. Forbes magazine called it one of the top 10 places.
That's amazing. Are you going to take Junie later and show him around?
One of the top 10 places. It is. We'd like for all of y'all to stay away. We'd like for, in Donaldson, I'm part of the Sentry, Sentry, to keep all the East Nashville hipsters out of Donaldson. So you try to come across Pedestrian Bridge, I stop you. Try to come down Lebanon Road, I stop you. I mean, so just stay over in East Nashville. Leave us in Donaldson alone. We're good.
All right. Let's go to the text line. Do you have another point? But because the text line's blowing up.
No,
now.
Not at all.
2832 says, this message is for Chase the Suit. Weekly segment idea, Stilly versus Polly, and have Joe as the mediator. Thoughts? It's not a request line. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Look, Stilly and Polly, I think, is a very special thing when it happens, and it's entertaining. Alex in Montreal says, well, it's snowing in Montreal, so it's appropriate.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good.
Jay Miles. No, I mean, let's be honest. There are maybe 50 good Christmas songs. Let's not wear them out before 12:25. There's more than 50. Well, plus, here's the thing about Christmas music.
Yeah?
You have different variations of the same song.
True.
Because, like, you know, you may enjoy
Andy Williams'
version of a song and Rihanna's version of a song. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, they're different recordings. So I think that's okay.
Yeah.
B-Man, absolutely not. No, it's too early. 4312, people that say it's too early probably complain about a lot of things in life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Ryan in Asheville, let me help you and everyone else. You can play Christmas music on Black Friday. The answer is no.
Dang it, yeah. I don't know. I just
a lot of people say no.
Yeah.
Coy in Clarksville, Mariah Carey has thawed out.
Oh,
that's
man.
A good one.
Now, that song, don't play till after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I don't know. People hate on that song now because it's been so overplayed. But, like, when Jimmy Fallon did it with the kids and the children's
yeah.
instruments, like, it was awesome.
Oh, when that song kicks in, it kicks in. So, I'm a big fan of that song.
Matt and Gallatin, I can listen to Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly year-round. That is a good one.
You make me cry.
That is a good one.
Yep.
Dave, Christmas music sucks. Wait till December 1st. Bah humbug to you, too. John, ramp up to Christmas. Moderation is key. Thanksgiving dinner should not get confused with Christmas. Now, that's a good point.
Right.
You got a moderation.
That's the thing about the tree. The tree should not go up till after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's my.
I mean, sometimes I'm lucky to get the tree up the week of Christmas.
I went one year.
And then it comes down in March.
Comes down in March, yeah. I bought a Christmas tree one year from Walgreens. That's how no money I had. Because my son's like, hey, you need a Christmas tree. I'm like, okay, buddy, I get one like that, and so we laugh all the time.
1652, there is like 8 good Christmas songs, but I can only handle so much Michael Bublé. Gotta wait till after Christmas. BP in Springfield, All I Want for Christmas by My Chemical Romance slaps. I don't think I've heard that.
Well, we will hear it eventually today.
Yeah, I guess we will. All right, there you go. So that's our question of the day. Is November 1st too early to start playing Christmas music? You can text in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we saw the Titans offense work well with Derrick Henry running the ball, had 101 yards, and then obviously DeAndre Hopkins and the 3 touchdowns that he had. It's a short week. I never expect that kind of production on a Thursday night game.
No.
And Kenny Pickett, it looks like he's going to play,
right?
According to him. So, if you're the Titans, what is the game plan Thursday to try and slow down that offense but also take advantage of a quarterback that's clearly not 100%?
I think you go to the defense and say, look, you guys have to win this game for us Thursday night. Short weeks, the defense is always the ones you got to step up and say, just go at him. Just go at them, put the pressure on him, establish it early that we were not going to be dominated, and then go from there. And then so if they get out to like a 7-0, 10-0 lead, the Titans, then you can manage the game with a lot of Derrick Henry, a lot of misdirection, short, quick passes, and then move the ball down the field. Now, people have said last week, why does that offense, you know, why can you do that all the time? Well, you know, you got to get what the defense takes you sometimes, and Atlanta wasn't really expecting the deep ball from Levis those 3 times. So I think this week, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I'd go to my defense and say, you have to win the game for us Thursday night. Play better you've played all year long, and let's get out of here with a win.
I will say the fact that Minka Fitzpatrick is going to be out for them is big for Levis because that's a big obstacle that's out of your way now.
Right. Oh, absolutely it is. It'll be interesting to see what to do with Levis too because
– But Cameron Hayward may be back. That's tough.
He's a large man.
He is a large
man. I met him at the Stanley Cup Final in 2017. He's a big dude.
Why was he at the Stanley Cup Final? Because of the Penguins?
Yeah. Predators and Penguins.
Sure, I know.
But he was like, there. They honored him. He was like one of the towel waivers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's huge.
I didn't get to go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
I only got to do the games here.
Oh, okay. But he was –
So I don't acknowledge anything that happened on the road.
It has been a long time.
You got fans. Good?
I got people.
Look at that.
Yeah, good to see you again. Appreciate you. Yeah, nice. Nice. Got a – We'll do an autographs at end of the break here.
Are you signing books?
Yeah, I brought a bunch of books out here, too. They're on the table, already gone. And so we got a –
Lord, please don't hit that mailbox.
It's great.
Amazon.com.
Yeah, hot seller, man. We got probably 20 people in line for autographs right now. So
I love that. Yeah, we are at the Dunkin' in Old Hickory. 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. Come by and see us. Junie's going to be signing autographs, too.
What are we talking
He's
about?
He's signing my autographs.
Cameron Hayward.
Cameron Hayward, yeah.
Yeah, he's huge. Just telling you. He's
That's great
Jeff
analysis.
Yes, he's Jeff Simmons huge. I don't know, man. I just think that's the game plan. Defense get there.
You got to incorporate Henry, though. I mean, this is the kind of game, in my mind, where you got to run the football. Now,
oh, yeah.
We know the stat that if he carries the ball 20 or more times, the Titans usually win the game. He carried the ball 22 times on Sunday for 101 yards. Didn't get in the end zone. He's only got 3 touchdowns on the year. I mean, he's not finding the end zone. But when he carries the ball, that carries the offense. But are you going to be able to do that on a short week, or is this the time where you want to see more Tajay Spears and work him in?
Both. I'll take 50-50. You know, I'll take the balance between those two guys because it really shifts how the defense reacts to what they're doing. And Spears, man, puts that burst in there. Everybody's like, whoa-oh, and then go back to Henry. Like, oh, I got to deal with this guy now. A lot goes on.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to kind of watch that rotation when it comes to both running backs. And again, now that Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff have had some time to watch Will Levis, you know, Tomlin's good at exploiting weaknesses, especially with rookie quarterbacks. That's why he has such a good record against rookie quarterbacks. So we will continue to discuss that. John McClain from Houston going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and Steelers matchup and Will Levis, and also the news out of Vegas with Josh McDaniels being out as the head coach of the Raiders. That's all coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe. Be sure to join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs tomorrow from 5 to 7 for the pregame show, the award-winning pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 9 matchup against the Steelers and give you the latest updates before the game. NFL pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Regal Realty Group live today at the Duncan in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. Come by and say hello. We got some prizes you can win. Our man Sean is out front at our table. Junie's here rocking out to some Boston. That's very appropriate, playing Boston for Duncan.
It is.
That's nice. Good. Chasing Big Joe. Let's say hello now to the great John McClain, who joins us from Houston, as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. John, of course, you can find his work at sportsradio610.com. John, how are you?
Guys, I'm great. What a difference a week makes. Last week when I was on with Joe, everybody was mad at Vrabel for going to New England. Tim Kelly's a bum. Vrabel's snapping at people in news conferences. And now happy days are here again. Vrabel's a good coach. Tim Kelly actually knows what he's doing. And nobody gives a damn if Vrabel went to New England.
Yep, you were right about that. Everybody's talking about Will Levis. I got to tell you, John, you know, it was cool being there on Sunday. A lot of people that you covered in your career were at Nissan Stadium as it was homecoming with a lot of the Oilers and the Titans being there, playing in the Oilers uniforms. But there was a different energy in that stadium, you know, after the first few drives when you saw Will Levis find DeAndre Hopkins for a couple of touchdowns. Ended up being 3 and 4 on the day. People were very excited about number 8 and thinking, oh, here we go. We got our franchise guy. It's one game, but how impressed were you with the poise that he had and how he ran the offense?
Well, I was impressed with Will Levis, just like I was impressed with Marcus Mariota in his debut when he threw 4 touchdown passes. And that just shows you can't – nothing's guaranteed based on one game, as you pointed out, Chase. And it was throwing deep passes. There's nothing like throwing deep passes for touchdowns. Hopkins has never averaged 32 yards a catch in a game in his career. And you know he had to be the happiest. All people always thought they – well, not always. As soon as I knew Levis was starting, I knew there's no way they're trading Hopkins or Henry. You don't take away weapons when you're trying to look at a rookie quarterback and see if that rookie quarterback can be your quarterback of the future. And so I knew then that they weren't going anywhere, and Hop, he rewarded them. You know, he looked like he was a rookie again, getting behind coverage and outrunning defensive backs. So happy for him. And I got to tell you, while everybody in Houston doesn't like seeing those uniforms, I do. I take a beating here from my radio station, sportsradio610.com, the Texans flagship, and I don't care. I like seeing those jerseys. I like a bunch of the players were there, sent me pictures of their celebration, in which Amy Adams Strunk always treats them like royalty. And watching Levis reminded me of Warren Moon when he used to throw a lot of long touchdown passes in the run and shoot. So I know it puts the Titans right back into the wild card picture. Looks like Jaguars going to run away with the division. Now they got that tough three-game schedule coming up. Pittsburgh just coming off a home loss to the Jaguars. There's nothing special about Tampa Bay. They're the underdog playing the Texans. And then at Jacksonville, that'll be a big game. But then they get five of the last seven at home. So if they could come out of that with two and one from that three-game road stretch, that would be pretty impressive and set them up to make a stretch drive in which the wild card race is wide open at this point.
You know, John, you've covered this series with the Steelers, Titans, Oilers going back throughout history and some monumental games, the Mike Renfro catch, I mean, the game there and things like that have gone on. When they go up there on a Thursday night, if you're Mike Tomlin and you're seeing what Will Levis got, what approach do you have against a rookie quarterback on a short week? What approach would you take?
Well, you know that Mike Tomlin is a great coach. He's got with T.J. Watt and Highsmith, they'll do everything to get their pressure off the edges like they always do. I think Hayward's, is he supposed to come back? He's been out for a long time. And one of the things I liked about Levis, you know, he's only sacked twice, but he took his drop and he got rid of the ball. He didn't have to look around the field. I'll guarantee you that they're going to double-team DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to hit him on the line of scrimmage to try to disrupt him so he can't get in his route fast like he did in this game against the Falcons. Because if he gets going and Levis drops back and he throws it, I haven't seen Hopkins catch deep passes like that, 2-1 game of 61 and 47 yards in like forever. And so they've got to slow down Hop and make somebody else beat them, whether it's Derrick Henry or not. And when you take away the deep ball, as you guys know, and you make them run, it's going to be a close game, and barring a lot of turnovers. And what the Titans did was so impressive. You know, they only gave up one touchdown on defense till that last drive. And so it's the right time to be coming to Pittsburgh in a short week. It's a lot easier to coach a short week when you're coming off a victory, especially one that was as exciting as that one was.
John, were you able to watch any of the game? I know you're busy on Sundays. Were you able to watch any of the Titans game?
I don't watch it. I go back and watch. I watch it on tape, but I don't watch it. I don't watch anything live but the Texans.
Do you get updates? Do you get game updates?
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly looking at it, and then I watch it late at night.
Your reaction, though, when you're reading, like, the Titans are up and they're up early and all that, you had me thinking, all right, I want to watch this.
Will Levis did what? Okay, one. Okay, he throws one to Hopkins. All right, that's fine. And then you look up and you see another one. And during the Texans game, they were constantly coming on with highlights of the Titans. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? You know, I had Levis going in the top 10 in the draft, and I got all kind of grief about it. And I had my chest stuck out after that game because he looked great, you know, the way he celebrated with his family afterward, that endears him to everyone. So, and plus the fact, you know, Levis is mobile, he's tough. I remember at the combine, he said, I got a cannon for an arm and I want to show it off. And he did, but I thought there was a time that the Texans might draft him. And so I watched a lot of tape on him at Kentucky. And, you know, he lost his coaches, his receivers the last year. He was playing hurt. But the one thing I noticed was what a good physical runner he is and how tough he was. And that's a good combination when you got that kind of arm plus the mobility and the strength to break tackles.
We're talking to John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Joins us every Wednesday. One of the cool moments, I don't know if you saw this, so at the start of the fourth quarter, they've been bringing out a legend of the game to hype up the crowd, to get on the microphone and kind of get everybody going. And with it being Oilers weekend, they brought out Billy White Shoes Johnson. Came out, had the white shoes on. He did the funky chicken, got everybody going. And a few plays later after that, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine scores the fourth touchdown of the day for the Titans while wearing white shoes, and he did the funky chicken. He talked about that Billy actually showed him how to do it, and that's why he did the touchdown dance. I thought that was pretty cool.
Let me ask you, the funky chicken, you have to do the splits at the end. And I saw Billy 2 weeks ago. I said, can you do the splits anymore? And he goes, hell no, I can't do the splits. did Ikhine do the splits at the end of it?
No, he
probably would have ripped his hamstring, because the funky chicken, when he would do it, he would do his legs like that. And then when it ended, he would drop the ball over his shoulder and do the splits. And back then, of course, Billy could do the splits. When the Falcons went to the Super Bowl and they got beat, Billy was there. He worked for the Falcons. He was wearing white shoes. And at media day on the field, I asked him then, I said, can you do the splits? He said, watch this. He said, I just hope I don't rip my pants. And he did the splits.
That is fantastic. And, I mean, I guess that was one of the first touchdown dances in the league, right? That kind of started it.
It started by Elmo Wright of the Chiefs from University of Houston. Yeah. Elmo, who I see a lot here, too. He scored a touchdown one time for the Chiefs, and he was so excited, he just started running in place. And then and he would do it really fast, and then every time he scored, he would run in place. That started it, and then others started looking for ways to accentuate that. And Billy was the first, maybe the only one to ever do the splits.
Wow. It was when he would score a punt return for a touchdown at the Astrodome and do that, John, did the stadium just go crazy?
Oh, of course they did. Fans loved Billy. He was a 15th round draft choice from a college, Widener, that nobody had ever heard of, up in the middle of Pennsylvania, I believe. And he comes in. He's undersized. Back then, receivers were bigger. Cornerbacks were bigger because speed wasn't as important. And he started out as a return specialist, and he's one of the best in history. And if we ever start putting returners in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be pushing Billy like crazy. And one of the greatest Billy White Shoes Johnson stories, the Oilers played terrible weather in Cleveland. It was awful. It was snow. It was ice. That field was terrible. To begin with, they threw cat litter on the brown spots so it looked green on TV. Players after the game would have cat litter all over their lockers, all over their jerseys. So Billy he had a great game. And first of all, they asked Bob Phillips, how come you didn't go to a walkthrough on Saturday? You get used to the bad weather. And Bob goes, you can't practice being miserable. And so the next day, Billy was great. And afterward, they asked Bob, how's Billy White Shoes have a great game like that? Nobody else does. And he said, pantyhose. He wore pantyhose. So we had to go to Billy and ask him about the pantyhose because that kept his legs warm. And so after that, you get all these players trying to get in pantyhose when the weather's bad. Earl Campbell's thighs were too big. And every time he tried to stretch them, they just ripped. So you never saw Earl in pantyhose.
He is John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We'll have more with him. We'll get his thoughts on the move that happened last night in Las Vegas. Josh McDaniels out as the head coach of the Raiders. We'll do that coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game live today from Duncan in Old Hickory. Again, got some Boston. Well done, Dr. Crane, well done. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And, John, I was anchoring our Nashville Predators coverage last night. They're in Vancouver taking on the Canucks, so I got off the air just after midnight. And as I'm signing off, my phone starts blowing up, and ESPN breaking news that the Raiders are cleaning house. Josh McDaniels out as the head coach. They also fired the general manager, David Ziegler, as well. Antonio Pierce going to be the interim head coach for the Raiders. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. Josh McDaniels has been a terrible head coach in the National Football League, but what's next for the Raiders?
I don't know why he was hired to begin with after as badly as he botched it, but Tom Brady made McDaniels. You know, he's never going to be a head coach again unless some owner's dumb enough to give him another opportunity. And I don't think that's going to happen. And it's interesting. I was still up on the computer, and I'm like, well, what is Mark Davis smoking to do this so late at night? And then I realized they're 2 hours behind us. But still, you generally don't make moves at 10. Owners who do things in the middle of the night or late at night, like Jim Irsay, it makes me wonder what kind of frame of mind they're in. And I think this, they look terrible on Monday night, worse than the score indicated. Jimmy Garoppolo was awful. They hadn't scored 20 points a game, I don't think. And last time they had this problem, John Gruden got fired with a 3-2 record. They elevated special teams coach Rich Bisaccia, went 7-5 and made the playoffs. And then everybody wanted him to keep the job. But Mark Davis, being in Vegas, wanted to make a splash, so he hires McDaniels and Ziegler, and everybody raised their eyebrows. What is he seeing in Josh McDaniels? So it's a great job because it's in Las Vegas. You know, you're going to get free agents, but boy, and coaches will line up to get it because there's only 32. But Davis is just such a strange guy, of course, starting with his haircut, which he knows is the worst haircut in the history of mankind. In fact, there was a movie called Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr., Nick yep. Nolte, Ben Stiller. And in the movie, a character Ben Stiller had was called Simple Jack, in which Simple Jack was supposed to have mental issues, his character. And so they're captured by the Vietnamese, who are still think the war's going on, but they know from video all about Simple Jack. And so Ben Stiller goes out and performs an act of Simple Jack. And every time I see Simple Jack, every time I see Mark Davis, I think about Simple Jack because it's the same haircut. You ever see that movie, pay attention. And the Mark Davis takes a lot of pride in people making fun of his haircut. So it's a good job. I'm guessing this time he'll go with a guy who has not been a fired head coach. Maybe he will, but I think that he'll go in that direction. There are going to be a lot of openings, just like there are every year. And the top coordinators, like Ben Johnson at Detroit, those are going to be at the head of the top of the list.
John, how well did you know Al Davis, and how much is Mark Davis like Al Davis?
He's nothing like him. I knew Al well enough to. I used to talk to him at league meetings or before games because he knew I liked the American Football League. I grew up watching it as a kid, and he coached in it under Sid Gilman with the Chargers. The Oilers beat the Chargers in the first two American Football League championships. And so we used to talk about the good old days of the AFL, but he is totally different. You know, he ran everything. He would get out and coach players on a technique for the offensive or defensive line, and he used to drive the assistant coaches crazy because they may have just told him a different type of technique. But he was Al, Big Al, and everything he said went, where Mark is a bystander. He wasn't even in the organization forever. He only came in before Al Davis died, and then, of course, he inherited it.
Wow, that's I knew that you would know all that because of your longstanding job with the National Football League. John Rook, the surprise secret team in the NFL right now, the Seattle Seahawks. Nobody's talking about them. They're playing good football. Your thoughts on what Pete Carroll's doing there?
Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, they've got as good a relationship as anybody could have. And I got to tell you guys why I like this. Because my wife and I were in Las Vegas during the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. And she grew up loving the Washington Redskins. So every year she bets on Commanders to go to the Super Bowl. And I said, let's pick a team that's got some long odds that is just good enough to be a surprise. I look up, oh, the Seahawks are 66-1. Why don't you put 100 on it? Now I wish she'd have put 1,000.
Talking with John McClain. So, all right, the team that nobody's talking about may be Seattle, but a team that I think has awoken that is a sleeping giant, the Cincinnati Bengals, ever since they came here and got their ass whipped by the Titans, I feel like that Joe Burrow is back, and that team is something to watch out for.
Titans got him at the right time. You know, everybody knows Burrow was hurt early with that calf muscle. He couldn't retreat. He couldn't slide. And he had problems stepping into it. But, man, going out and adding to the 49ers' misery was pretty impressive. And he was outstanding in that 31-17 victory. And so I'm not so sure right now. after watching Kansas City get beat at Denver, that the Bengals are not the best team in the AFC, along with Philadelphia in the NFC. The neatest thing I saw over the weekend was when the Broncos at home broke that long losing streak to the Chiefs. As soon as it ended, they played Taylor Swift's Shake It Off.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was like the best troll job that I have seen in a long time when they did that the other night. And so Cincinnati will play Buffalo Sunday night. You mentioned Kansas City. They got to play Miami, which Miami, I think, is one of the hottest teams. We've talked about them every week. Could this be one of the most watched European games that we've seen, with a 8:30 Central Time kick on Sunday morning?
Well, it's in Germany, too. And football's even bigger in Germany, our football, than it is in London. And that goes back to the old days of NFL Europe, when Oliver Luck, Andrew's dad, former Oilers quarterback, he was the general manager of the Frankfurt Galaxy, and they sold out every game, which helped him become president of the league. But that game, Dolphins and Chiefs, they've never had an international game with two teams with such good records as they have, and that, to me, is one of the great games coming up. And you got other games this week. Seahawks against the Ravens. Both those teams are red hot. You guys mentioned the game with the Bills and the Bengals. That's going to be huge. And so it's going to be another great weekend.
John, give me your take on the New York Jets. They have a certain je ne sais quoi.
Nice.
I cannot put my finger on why this team is exciting, and there's something there. What are your thoughts about the Jets?
I don't know if I would call it exciting, considering Zach Wilson is the quarterback. But right now, Jets are 4-3. We all thought they were going to be one of the worst teams when they lost Aaron Rodgers. Now Aaron Rodgers is making this miraculous comeback. They're talking about he could come back in the middle of December. I'm happy for Robert Saleh. He worked for the Texans for 6 years, and everybody was down on him when its season started. They've got a really good defense, a really good running game. They're not making a lot of mistakes. They're hosting the Chargers. It's a primetime game. I'm guessing there's a good chance they may beat the Chargers. Right now, based on the Vegas odds, the leading candidate for Coach of the Year, Dan Campbell 1, Mike McDaniel 2, and Robert Saleh passed up D'Amico Ryans for number 3.
Interesting. The Lions, Monday Night Football, it was great. As a fan of football, not particularly a team, John, it was great to see that environment and see that franchise. Well, we've talked about this, hasn't won a playoff game since, 50 years or whatever it's been?
Well, they won one since the 1950s.
That's crazy. Your thoughts on that game and seeing just that fan base kind of electric for the game Monday night?
Joe, I think it's great for the NFL when one of your storied franchises has been bad, gets good again. Like if the Browns ever get consistently good, it would be great for the league. It's great for the Lions. Can't wait for Thanksgiving. In the past, it was always, well, can't wait to get Detroit out of the way so the Cowboys come up at 3. And I think this is a great story. People like Dan Campbell. They like the way he coaches. He's going to lose both his coordinators to head coaching jobs. Plus, I love the colors, and I love the way the fans get into it. And I hope they continue to play well. And, boy, if they got in the Super Bowl, that would be even better.
John, great stuff as always. We love having you on, and we will do it again next week.
Jason, Joe, thank you guys very much as always, and good luck to the Titans.
Absolutely. John McClain, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll have MTSU head football coach Rick Stockstill at the bottom of the next hour. But coming up next, I want to know what the College Football Playoff Committee is smoking, because maybe I want to try it. I don't know. The rankings came out last night. I don't know what they're doing. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.